Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Masechta Nazir. The Torah HaKadosha teaches us the parish of Nazir. The Torah HaKadosha says that if somebody accepts upon themselves to be a Nazir, he has certain halachas. The halachas are he may not drink or have any grape products, he may not take a haircut, and he may not become Tameh Tameis. The Torah, as we're going to speak about extensively in our Masechta, tells us that when a Nazir completes his term of Naziris, he has to go through a very extensive process, including bringing Kabbonis. And another important element of our Masechta will be that a person who accepts upon themselves to be a Nazir, and as we just learned, the Nazir is not allowed to become Tameh during the time of his Naziris. If he becomes Tameh during that time, then the halacha is that he has to terminate his Naziris, wait till he becomes Tahar, bring a number of Kabbonis, and after he brings those Kabbonis, then he resumes from scratch his terms of Naziris. There's a very big machlokes rishonim as we approach this Masechta, appropriately as a continuation of what we learned in Masechta and Nedarim. How do the rishonim look at one accepting upon himself a Naziris? The opinion of the Ritva is that a Naziris is a Esa Cheftza. In other words, a person who becomes a Nazir is saying that he won't eat wine, he won't drink wine, etc., and it becomes to him like a carbon. The Rosh, so it's similar to a neder. The Rosh explains that Naziris is like a shvua, it's a nisagavra. It takes effect on a person. The Marit has a very interesting approach. He explains that the Torah gives a person the opportunity to become a higher madrega. How does one become a higher madrega? The way the Marit explains it, just like a person is born a Kohen, so an individual who's born a Kohen is on a higher level of Kedusha, says the Marit that the person who accepts upon himself Naziris, what he's actually essentially saying, says the Marit, is that I will be at a higher level of Kedusha. And a higher level of Kedusha requires certain halachas, that he may not drink wine, that he may not become Tameh, etc. So according to the Marit's understanding, it's not that a Nazir becomes, and it's not to, we are not to view Naziris as a Issachevtza, or we're not to view Naziris as an Issagavra, but really what to look, the way he explains we should look at Naziris, is that the person is raising himself up to a higher level. And once the person is on that higher level, then there are different halachas that the Torah says to him and requires of him. As we learned in Masechta Nedarim, there are different ways how to express and how to accept a neder or a shvua, and those same halachas are the first halachas that we're going to be discussing in our Masechta as well. How one accepts upon himself a naziris, and when is it considered a valid expression, and when is it not considered a valid expression? So begins the Mishnah Kol Kinui Naziris. Anytime somebody says a kinui, not the exact expression of a Naziris, the halacha is kinaziris. It's considered a valid acceptance. The Mefarshim point out that why does the Mishnah use the word Kol? Why is the Mishnah coming to add what with the word Kol? So some Farshim explain what the Mishnah is coming to say, that if we're going to give different examples of kinuyim, but the Mishnah says the word kol to tell us that the list that's mentioned in our Mishnah is not exactly an extensive list. And there are other ways, there are other words that will represent the kinuyim. Another pshat that I saw is that if somebody makes up his own kinuy, but that becomes a way that he expresses that he's becoming a Nazir, then it is also considered a valid kinui and a valid form of accepting the Naziris on oneself. As we learned in Masecht in the Darim, very much the same here in Masecht the Nazir, there's a machlokes, what are kinuyim? And really better said, why are kinuyim effective? So Rabbi Yochanan explains that kinuyim are lashon umes hayin. Those are the ways that the other people, the nations, the world express themselves, and that the Mishnah is teaching us that using those words is also an acceptable way of accepting an Aziris oneself. The Rish Lakish, however, explains that what kinuyim represent as Loshen Shabbat Olam Chachamim, these are words that Chazal composed, that Chazal said these are acceptable manner of one expressing another. So the Rishonim ask, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that the definition of kinuyim is Loshen Umes Hayin, why did our Mishnah mention these words that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, obviously Loshen Umes, are words that the nations of the world use? Aren't there so many other ways of one to express himself? So Tosfos says a very important teretz. Tosfos says, of course, the words, as we just said, that are mentioned in our Mishnah as examples of kinuyim are not the only way one can accept upon himself a Naziris as a kinuy. Any word that a person understands that represents that he's accepting upon himself a Naziris would be a valid way of accepting himself a Naziris. However, what's unique about the words in our Mishnah, says Tosfos, is that even if somebody doesn't understand these words have the ability to make one a Nazir even if he doesn't understand them. Whereas other words of Humais, of the nations of the world, would only be considered an acceptable way of accepting a Naziris only if he understands those words. So Tosfos Yontif asks on Tosfos, he doesn't understand, how could one be considered a Nazir if he didn't really understand what he was accepting upon himself? So Tosfos Yontif says, a chiddush, that let's say the person used this word, and we're learning in our Mishnah that this is considered an acceptable way of saying that I am a Nazir. And now the person shows up and says, well, I didn't really mean to become a Nazir. A person is not going to be believed to say that. If you use the words of our Mishnah, it must be that you knew what you were doing and you accepted by yourself to be a Nazir. Others, however, explain, and this is irrelevant in Hilchas Krishma, the halacha is, as we learned in Masechet Brachos, that if one says Krishma in Lashon HaKodesh, even if he doesn't understand what he's saying, the halacha is he's yoytz the mitzvah of Krishma. Why is the halacha if you say Krishma in a different language? The halacha is that you're yoytz only if you understand that language. That's exactly what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. That when you use the words that are mentioned in the Mishnah, even if you don't understand those words, but you know you want to be a Nazir, even though you don't understand the exact definition of these words, it's good enough. Whereas other words, we're learning in our Mishnah that you could become a Nazir with any language, but there you have to understand that language. Moreover, says the Ritva, not only if you use other language, can you become a Nazir? It's an acceptable form of accepting Naziris by yourself. But that's only if the language that you're using is the language that's used in the place where you use that language. But if you use that language in a place where you understand the language, but that's not the language in the location where you said it that's used, the halacha is that you can't be accepting Naziris that way. And that's why, says the Bi'al Locha, following up with the Locha that we just mentioned, that even though you could be Kabbal, you could accept upon yourself Naziris in any language, there's the two important conditions. One is you have to understand that language, where you say it in Lashon Kodesh, or you say it in the language that's mentioned, in the words that are mentioned in our Mishnah, you need not understand that language. Here you have to understand the language, and moreover, it has to be the language that's spoken in the place that you use that language. And therefore, says the Bi'al Locha, the same thing would be by Krishma. you could say and be yotze the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, even if you don't say it in Lashon Kodesh, provided that you understand the language that you use to say Kriya Shema, and provided that that's the language that's used in the place that you used it. Tosfos asks a different question. As we said a moment ago, according to Reish Lakish, the definition of Knuyim is Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim. The Lashon that Chazal made up should be acceptable way of accepting in the Naziris. So ask Tosfos, it turns out that these words, Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim, are only words that are used, that are composed by the Rabbanan. Midaraisa, it's not considered an acceptable way of accepting a Naziris. As we said in our introductory remarks to the Shir, when somebody finishes his Naziris, he has to bring a carb, he has to bring a set of kabanas. But if his entire Naziris is only valid midrabanan, because it's only, like Reish Lakish says, Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim, it's wording that Chazal composed, but it's not really the Raisa de Gnaziris, so how could you bring kabanas? Whenever you're bringing kabanas that you're not obligated to bring, that's considered Chulin Ba'azara. So Tosfos answers that since the person, when he uses these words, knows that these words are only valid Madrabanan, what the person actually is saying, says Tosfos, I'm using words that the Rabbanan composed, but I don't mean that I should be only a Nazir Midrabbanan. I mean that I should be a Nazir Midaraisa. However, there are Rishonim, Bechidish, that say that if somebody accepts upon himself a Naziris with Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim, only with words that are valid Midrabbanan, indeed, when he completes his Naziris, even though normally when somebody completes a Naziris, they have to bring a carbon, he won't have to bring carbon because it's not a Naziris Midaraisa. Moreover, says Tosfos, that even though when we learned Masechet Nedarim, as we just said, we had the Machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how to understand Kinuyim. A Kinuyim, as Rabbi Yochanan said, Lashon Umais, the language of other people, or a Kinuyim, says Reish Lakish, Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim. Interestingly enough, Tosfos quotes that that's a machloikis only in the case of Nedarim. But when we speak about Naziris, because of the question that Tosfos asked, how would you be able to bring kabbonis if it's only Lashon Shabbat Olam Chachamim? Suggests Tosfos that by Naziris, even Reish Lakish agrees the reason why Kinuyim are effective is because it's Lashon Umas Olam, it's the Lashon that Chacham made up. There's an interesting discussion based on this, that as we quoted Tosfos and the Rishonim, who differentiate Lashon Kodesh versus other languages, what's going to be the halacha? We know there's a series of era of mentioning Hashem's name in vain, erasing Hashem's name. Is somebody allowed to mention Hashem's name in vain or erase Hashem's name when it's not written in Lashon Kodesh? The Gemara Masechet Shavuos, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, teaches us that the pasuk says, Loisas Hashem L'Shem Elokeichem, that one has to treat Hashem's name with great respect, and that includes erasing it, not being allowed to erase Hashem's name. Says the Gemara that only speaks about the Shem Hashem. But when you use names of Hashem that are descriptions of Hashem, Hagadol, Hagibur, Hanoira, those names may be erased. Similarly, says the Shach, when Hashem's name is written in a foreign language, if somebody writes G-O-D in English, the Shach says there's no Isser to erase Hashem's name that way. Similarly, says the Pnei Yeshua, pronouncing Hashem's name in another language is not considered a violation of the Lav of Laisisa. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, very bechidish, if somebody has a suffix, if somebody's in doubt, if he said a bracha, he doesn't remember if he said a bracha or not, he should say the bracha in a different language. He shouldn't say it in Lashon Kodesh. He should say in Aramaic, Baruch Rachmona. Because what's the problem? People make the mistake that we know there's halacha, suffer brachas lachal, that if you have a question, if you have to make a bracha, you don't make the bracha. And people assume that the reason suffer brachas lachal is because since the entire obligation to make a bracha is only midrabanan, so you have a suffer brachas lachal. That's not the reason. The reason why suffer brachas lachal is because if you're going to say Hashem's name when you're not supposed to say Hashem's name, so then you're being over a very serious avera of laisisa, says the Pnei Yeshua. But if I'm going to, what I'm going to do is say it in different language, we just finished explaining, says the Shach, that you're not over laisisa if you say Hashem's name in a different language, and therefore you could say it in Aramaic. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. The Chasam Sofer says that if somebody says Hashem's name, even in a different language, he's over laisisa. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, in a case of doubt, if you're obligated to say a bracha, the advice that the Pnei Yeshua gives us to say the bracha in a different language, he says would not be acceptable. It would be still considered a violation of saying Hashem's name improperly. And not only says the Chasam Sofer that is his opinion, but actually the Chasam Sofer says that that is also the opinion of his father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva Eigel. Continues the Mishnah. If somebody says aha, he says the word aha, then and he did not complete his statement by saying a hey nazar, harei ze nazar. The halacha views it, and the Gemara will explain it, of course, as if he's saying that he's going to be a nazar. Or if somebody said a hey no, that also, says the Mishnah, is a way of expressing that he's going to become a nazar. And as we're going to learn, that these are examples of a yad. And as we learned in Masechta Nedarim, and here too, yodis naziris, when one expresses or declares something with a yad, it's also considered a full-fledged accepting of a nazar. Tosfos explained, what does a yad mean? Yad, he says, is like the handle of a vessel. Just like when you want to hold on to a vessel, you hold on to the yad of the vessel, the candle of the vessel. So too, even if you're just saying a yad of Naziris, which is just the beginning of the expression, that's enough to be considered that you accepted upon yourself a neder or a nazir. The Meiri has a different approach. The Meiri's approach is that, as we said earlier, and it's going to become clear in the Masechta, a person is not a nazir, or really that's the halacha by any neder, unless he truly wants to accept upon himself that obligation. So what we're always starting off with is that there's a person who has an intention to be a nazir. His intention to be a nazir has to be consummated with a statement. So since we start off with an intention to be a nazir, even though the wording, aha, is not really a very sharp expression, the halacha is that it's still considered a valid way of being a nazir. The Rambam says a different pshat, that, and really, we know that even though to be a nazir, you have to decide and truly want to be a nazir, but you also have to make an expression. What the Rambam tells us is the din of Yad and Naziris is not that a Yad is considered an expression of Naziris. All that the Yad represents, says the Rambam, is that really to be a Nazir, you need to have intention to be a Nazir. That's what makes you to be a Nazir. The Torah, however, added in a requirement that besides that you should have a true intention to be a nazir, you also have to express that intention. But since you don't have to do more than a minimal expression, even a yad, which we just learned is a very minimal expression, is sufficient. So the Mishnah explains examples of what are kinuyim, as we spoke already about. If somebody said, hareni naziach, naziach, nozik, naziach, paziach, all of these words are expression of nazir they're all a satisfactory way of becoming a nazir. If somebody said hareini kazeh, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the definition of hareini kazeh is I'm sitting, standing here, and a nazir passes by, and I say hareini kazeh, I want to be like him. The halach is that I'm coming nazir. So says Taisus, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? If a nazir is passing by, and I expressly say hareini kazeh, that I want to be like this person, of course it's a valid expression of naziris. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? So Taisus says what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that only because I said hareini kazeh, so I said the word kazeh, that's why I'm considered a nazir. However, had I not said kazeh, I would not be a nazir. There are Rishonim, however, that disagree and say that the nazir oivel afanav, if a nazir is passing by and I say just hareini, I would be a nazir. If somebody said hareini mesalsel, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, mesalsel is a word that's used by somebody who has hair and combs his hair. And as we know, a very big part of being a nazir is the hair. So somebody says hareini mesalsel, or somebody says hareini mechalkel, which is also a word that represents somebody who has hair, a very integral part of becoming a nazir. Or if somebody says harei olai l'shalach pera, he says I'm going to grow my hair. All of these are valid ways, says the Mishnah, of accepting upon oneself a nazir. Concludes the Mishnah that if hareilai tzipayrim, if somebody says I'm going to have to bring birds, and the halach is, as we said at the beginning of our Mishnah, if somebody is a nazir and he becomes tamei, he has to become tahor, and then afterwards bring kabanas. Included in those kabanas are two birds, shtei tayrim or shnei b'nei yoina, two doves or two pigeons. So Remeya Aymer, that is also an acceptable way of accepting naziris. Chamam ein a nazir, it's not an acceptable way of becoming a nazir. However, points out the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis that even the Chachamim who hold that that's not an acceptable way of becoming a nazir, he's still going to have to bring two birds. We can't ignore that statement. What's interesting to point out is that even though that's what the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis on our Mishnah says, if you look at the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, he actually says that according to Chachamim, if somebody were to make such a statement, he's not a nazir at all. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Tanab said the Noshim Koi. We're learning say the Noshim. And nazir, we're going to see, is to a very great extent, speaks about Kabonis, our Masechta, the Kabonis that one brings at the end of his term of Naziris, the Kabonis that one brings of a nazir is becoming Tamei. So if we're learning say the Noshim, ask the Gemara, my Tame, Tani Nazir. Why are we learning nazir in say the Noshim? Answers the Gemara Tana Krokoi. The Tana is referring to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'hayim loisimtzachem ba'inov, kimotza ba'ervistover. If somebody is dissatisfied with his wife because she acted in an immoral fashion, v'kos lo sefer krisos, he should give her a get, v'nosim b'yad v'shilchem e'beisoi. So the Pasuk seems to be saying that what is the reason for the divorce? Because he found that she's acting immoral. Says the Gemara V'Hachikamer, what is the Torah teaching us? Mi garm laveira, that what caused this woman to act this way, that ultimately led that her husband should divorce her? Yayin, because she drank too much wine. The Kamer, and what the Pasuk is teaching us, is why is Nazir put next to the Saita? Why is the Parsha of Nazir next to the Parsha of Saita? To teach us, Kalaroy Saita B'Kalkulai, if somebody sees a Saita acting this way, Yaza Atzmoy, Binayayin, he should separate himself for wine. So the Torah is teaching, so what we're learning from here is that Nazir is connected to Saita. So Rav Tzadik explains what's the point of this Gemara. And Rav Tzadik says that the lesson of this Gemara is based on a famous lesson of the Baal Shem. He says that the Baal Shem says that if somebody sees something, somebody sees somebody doing an Aveira, or somebody sees somebody doing anything that's inappropriate, it isn't happenstance. It isn't coincidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you see something because you need to see it and you need to learn from it. But the Gemara is teaching us is that if Kalaroy Saita B'Kalkula, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused you to see something like this, it's a proof that you need to be better. And therefore, Yaza Atzmai Minayayin. So we see from here, asked Achrayim, that the reason why a person who sees a Saita, a person who needs to get better, the Gemara is teaching us Yaza Atzmai Minayayin. But there's a very famous Gemara, we learned it in the Dorim. We're going to learn this Gemara in Sechta Nozer as well. The Pasuk Amr Beleza Kfar. Ma Tam Loimer. What does the Torah say that after a person finishes his Naziris, the Chipa Lama Shechata and Nefesh, he needs to bring Kabonis to be a Kapara for the Averis he violated? And the question is, the Chipa is a Nefesh Chotazah. What Averis did the Nazar do that he needs a Kapara? Says the Gemara, El Shetzir Atzma Menayayin, that he held himself back for wine. So we see that holding yourself back for wine is inappropriate. Says the Gemara. So one teretz the Mefarshim explained that the person who's considered a Baal Aveira is only the Nazir who became Tamei. And the reason, as we're going to learn, is because since the person only intended to be a Nazir for a certain amount of time, but if he became Tamei, as we keep on repeating, he's going to have to start his Naziris all over again. And he's going to be a Nazir for longer time than he was, then the halacha is that's why that person is considered a Baal Aveira. But the Nazir who keeps just the term that he was obligated to keep is not considered a Chayte. That's one pshat. Another pshat is sometimes you could do two things, you could do something, and it should be considered positive and negative at the same time. For example, the halacha is in Hilchos Shabbos that if somebody has a bad dream on Shabbos, the halacha is that he has to fast. Because that's the halacha, Tanis Chaloyim. Even though he has to fast, the halacha is the next day, Sunday, he has to fast again. Because he fasted on Shabbos, which is inappropriate. What do we see from here? What we see from here is that you could do something that it's considered that's good and bad at the same time. So the same thing here. Halaraya Saita B'Kakulai, if you see a Saita, the appropriate thing is Yaza Atzmi Menayayin, abstain from wine. But it doesn't mean that you should abstaining from wine, says Rabbi Elazar Kfar, is necessarily a good thing. And therefore, you also consider it a Chayta. So the question, of course, is, if the reason why we have Masechta Nazir next to Masechta Saita is because Kol HaRoy Saita B'Kakuloi Yaza Atzmai Menayayin, then why is it Masechta Saita come before Masechta Nazir? Masechta Nazir Saita is what causes a person to become a Nazir. So shouldn't the Masechta Saita come first? So the Emre Emes says a beautiful pshat. The Emre Emes says, the Pasuk says, Sumeira Basay Toif. First, a person has to abstain from doing the wrong thing, and then he should do the right thing. However, says the Imre Emes, if a person is going to act that way, he's going to wait till he comes to the Madrega of being Sumeira, he may never get to Asay Toiv. That's why for us it's appropriate to do the Asay Toiv even before the Sumeira. The Nazir represents the Asay Toiv. And that's why in our world that we should do the Yaza Atzmai Menayayin, and then afterwards we'll do Saita, the Sumeira. The Miyana Ashal Torah explains that what is this concept of Kalaroy Saita B'Kakuloi Yaza Atzmai Menayayin? So he explains that normally, as the Rambam says, a person is supposed to go on the Shvil Azov. A person is supposed to go in the middle, not to any extreme. But if a person sees that he's Roy Saita B'Kakuloi, a person sees that he has tendencies to do what's wrong, then the only thing that he could do to go to the other way is Yaz Atzman Mayayin. He has to become a, he has to separate himself from the wine and realize that he has to be different, and he has to be, that he has to be different, he has to be better, he has to go to a different extreme. Of course, from our Gemara, it seems that drinking wine is something that one should avoid, because the Gemara is saying, the Mefarshim speak about wine's terrible effect. A wine could cause a person terrible bittul Torah. Wine could cause that a person not be able to have the clarity of his mind. But on the other hand, in certain places, says the Shlah, drinking wine is important. We know that every simcha, every mitzvah, many mitzvahs have to be made with a bracha on wine. And we begin Shabbos with Kiddush. So the Shlah says that this is an important lesson, says the Shlah. The lesson of this Gemara is that somebody, everything has to be done in moderation. So on one hand, one should drink wine, because simcha is so important in our Avodas Hashem. But even though simcha is such an integral part in our Avodas Hashem, it always has to be done in moderation. Ask the Gemara. Pasach b'kenuyim. Our Masechta began, the first words of the Masechta, as we explained, were called Kenuyim Naziris. So the Masechta started speaking about Kenuyim. And then, Mufarish Yadis. And then the Mishnah goes on to explain Yadis. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Amar Rav Avitamer, Kadi. Kadi normally is defined anonymously. Some explain that Kadi was the name of an Amira. Surim Echzvach Ketani. Kol Kinin Naziris, Kinaziris. The Mishnah begins with Kinin Naziris as the first halacha. The next halacha that's stated in our Mishnah is Yadis Naziris, Kinaziris. And then the Mishnah gives us examples of Yadis. Haimah Hei, Ahei, if somebody says, Ahei, Harez a Nazir. But ask the Gemara, if the first halacha that was stated in our Mishnah are kinuyim, so ask the Gemara, v'lifnish kinuy b'resha. So why does the Mishnah speak about kinuyim first? Answers the Gemara, Tana Mehuda Sala Kehu Mefarish b'resha. He says, it is the style of the Tana that the halacha that he finished speaking about last is what he explains first. And the Gemara cites a precedent for this. Ketanan, the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos discusses b'mamad likim or b'mamad likim. We know that we have to light candles Friday afternoon. And the Mishnah discusses what types of oils and wicks may be used for Shabbos candles and what may not. Because there's certain oils and wicks that don't light well. And Chazal were concerned that since they don't burn well, if you're using that for Shabbos candles, you may come to fix them on Shabbos, which of course would involve Chel Shabbos. So the Mishnah started b'mamad likim, and when the Mishnah explains or gives illustration, Farish explains emad likim b'resha, what was taught second first. And there's another halacha, b'mat toimnim. We know we want to keep food warm for Shabbos, and the way they would keep warm food for Shabbos is that they would put the warm food in insulation, which would keep the food warm. And there's something which is mice of hevel that adds heat, and there are materials that ain't mice of hevel that don't add heat. And the halacha is that anything which is mice of hevel, anything which adds heat, one may not do hatman in it. Because one of those things that are mice of hevel are remets, coals. And Chazal were concerned, Shema yechata b'kholim, you may stir those coals. So the Mishnah says, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, b'mat toimnim v'mat ein toimnim, v'farish ein toimnim b'resha, and then the Mishnah explains what ein toimnim first. There's another halacha. The Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos discusses that midaraisa, anything that's considered a malbush, anything that's considered an article of clothing, may be worn on Shabbos. Tachshit, jewelry, are considered articles of clothing. But Chazal made a gzeira that one should not wear jewelry in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because Chazal were concerned that one may remove that jewelry to show it to someone else, and come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, teaches us, and the Mefarish Loitetza Ish Bereisha and explains the second halakha first. Ask the Gemara, is this true that the Mishnah always explains the second halakha first? But Nan, there's another Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Aleph on the base, that discusses what an animal, the halakha is that a person has an obligation of Shvisis Behemtoi. A person has to make sure that his animal also doesn't do malacha on Shabbos. So the Mishnah explains, what may an animal wear on Shabbos that's not considered carrying and what is not? And Mefarish, the first halacha first, Yoytzah Gomel Bereisha. The Mishnah Masechta Basra that discusses the halacha of Yerusha, of inheritance, says, Yesh Noichlam Amahen Chilim, there are certain individuals that when they die, they are individuals, the people that yarsh in them, that inherit them, and vice versa. There are certain people, noichlim, that their relatives are yarshim, but they don't yarsh from those relatives. Mechil v'noichloichlim, vice versa. And noy noichlim v'noy mechilim, they aren't relatives as far as Yerusha. And the Mishnah explains the first halacha first. Mefarish, ela noichlim manchilim bereisha, explains the first halacha first. So, what is the proper order? Do you speak about the first halacha first, explain the first halacha, or do you explain the last halacha? Answers the Gemara, la'olam tani hachi v'tani hachi. There are different, there's no set rule. El hasam, in the case of Shabbos, Hatmona, this sur de nafshe, we're speaking about what obligated to you. The farish is sur de nafshe bereisha. We first speak about what you're now allowed to do, and then speak about what you're allowed to do. Because it's so serious, we're speaking about what's relevant to you. And chas v'shalom, you shouldn't come to do an aveira. So therefore, we speak about that first. Legabe behema, but when we speak about the animal is not my personal isser. The sura ayd behemu dasi. The isser is connected to my animal, the farisha teribereisha, so there we're not that considered. It's not that concerned about what we speak about first, and we could speak about the heta first. Gabi yesh noichlam nami, and so too says the Gemara when we speak about the Hilchas Yerusha. The Farish Ikka Nachla Bereisha, the Mishnah first explains what is the primary halacha of Yerusha. Since we speak about what's the primary case of Yerusha, so that's why he explained first. So Tosfos points out that we see from here that when an animal does chil Shabbos, even though the Torah tells us that we have to be careful that our animals shouldn't do any malach on Shabbos, it's not our personal aveira. And since it's not our personal aveira, that's why it's not the same as the other aveiras. Says the Gemara, Ella, if that's the way we're learning, Ella Hacha, ask the Gemara, Lifnish Kinui Bereisha, shouldn't the Mishnah say explain Kinuyim first? There's no reason, ask the Gemara, why Yodas should have been explained first. The halacha of Kinuyim is an important halacha. The halacha of Yodas is an important halacha. Our question is, if the Mishnah mentioned Kinuyim first, shouldn't that have been explained first? Says the Gemara, Lahaina Tam Yodas, explains the Gemara, why were the halachas of Yodas explained first? Hoil the Asian Midrasha. The Torah does not speak about Yodas explicitly. The Pasuk says, Ish Isha Kiaf Linda Nader Nozel Hazel Hashem. And therefore we say that it means Yodas. And something which is a Drasha, something which is a Drasha of a Pasuk, Chavivinle, says the Gemara. If that's the case, that since it's learned from a drasha, it has a special chvivis, it's special to the Tana. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, liftak ban bereisha, so shouldn't that have been the first halacha mentioned in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Tana ki mascho, when the Tana begins, mascho be'ikar. The Tana speaks about the main way of Naziris expressed, which are the cases of a carbon. And that is where you're going to bring carbon, and that is the case of kinuyim. Because as we explained, particularly if we say that kinuyim is lashon umos, and we said earlier in our shiur, it could be that everybody agrees that it's lashon umos. So that's the most appropriate way of expressing a naziris. Since that is the most appropriate way of expressing a naziris, that's mentioned first. When it comes to beginning to explain, there, linya perushe, the explanation, there we could explain yodas first. And I saw, why do we explain it first? Because again, since it comes from a drasha, it's explained first. So I saw, it says in Pirkei Avos, Zayin Dvaram B'Chacham. There are certain ways that we could tell somebody's a Talmud Chacham. And one of the ways is Oymal Rishon, Rishon V'Achron Achron, where you ask the question and you answer the first question first and the second question second. So the Shas HaTshuvos Marashdam points out that we just learned a whole piece of Gemara that says that that's not necessarily the proper thing to do. Sometimes we speak about second first. So the Shas HaTshuvos Rashba explains that when somebody is giving a shir, or somebody is answering questions, what his primary obligation to do is give it over in a way that is most understandable to Talmidim. And sometimes the most appropriate way of giving it over is by not answering the first thing first and the second thing second. But the Ratvaz and others say that we now have an issue. On one hand, that it says in Pirkei Avos that you're supposed to say the first thing first and the second thing second. And here we're saying that sometimes you shouldn't follow that order. How do we understand this? So says the Ratvaz that since it says explicitly in Pirkei Avos, first, second, second, that is what one should do. But if one believes that he will be better understood by saying second first and first second, he should do so. But what he should do up, what he should appropriately do in such a case, is say that even though I'm supposed to answer the first and the second, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go in reverse order because there will be a better and easier way for me to express myself. So we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody said aha, hareza nazar, ask the Gemara, why are we assuming that if somebody says aha, he means to be a nazar? Dilma, what he means to say is a habitanus comer. He means to accept upon himself a tainus. And the Rosh says the two ways of understanding the Gemara's question. We learned earlier, says the Rosh, that whenever we speak about a naziris, and if the person completes his naziris, when the person completes his naziris, he has to bring kabbanis. But if those are not, if he's not really a nazir, the kabbanis he's going to bring are going to be chulin bazara. So how can we be so quick to assume that he's a nazir? Another way of explaining, says the Rosh, is that to be a nazir, the Torah says ish kiyafli. You have to express yourself clearly, and a hey is not necessarily a clear expression of naziris, because maybe what he meant to say is a hey betanis kamer. Answers the Gemara, amishmu kagon shay nazir evelafanav. Said the Gemara, it says the Mishnah is referring to a case where the nazir is passing in front of you, and therefore it's clear that when you said a hey, you meant to be a nazir. Says the Gemara, based on this, that lema kasav shmu, that since it's so obvious that that is his intention, that is the reason and the only reason why he's a nazir. So shouldn't this be a proof that kasav shmu, yadayim she'en mechichas, if it's not absolutely clear that that is my intention, lo have yadayim? Says the Gemara, Amri, answers the Gemara, shmu maybe holds that even yadayim she'en mechichas, even in a case where it's not absolutely clear that I want to be a nazir, I will be a nazir. However, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Bizmach nazir ivilafonov, if the nazir is walking by, lekla suk v'milsachrina, there is no question what I meant to say, that I want to be a nazir. Aval, ein nazir lafonov, if we don't have such a clear proof that he wants to be a nazir, amrin dimahebet tanis kamar, and we can't say that he is going to be a nazir. We only could say it when we have clear indication that that is what I meant. The Dilma asked the Gemara, who says, just because the nazir is passing in front of me, my intention is to be a nazir. Maybe what I meant to say was, l'fotri kabanas of kama, that what I wanted to say was, I see this nazir passing by. I know, as we have been learning, that a nazir, when he completes his term of naziris, has to bring kabanas. And what I meant to say was that I will bring the kabanas on his behalf. Says the Gemara, the kama b'libay. The question is, the situation is that I know that I intended to be a nazir. So of course, Tosfos asks, but we know the rule throughout Shas is dvarim shem b'lev ein dvarim. And just because I intended something, it doesn't have any halachic validity. So the Rishonim all explain that is the chiddush of yadas. The chiddush of yadas is that, the way I always understand it, is that if there's umdan in the muchach, where it's obvious that this is my intention, coupled with I'm saying that this was my intention, that would be a proper expression of naziris. If that's the case, that I have clear indication that I want to be a nazir, and I'm saying that that was my intention, so what is the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara, that the halacha requires that your expression be perfectly clear. And if your expression is not perfectly clear that that is the intention, that should not be considered a valid acceptance of naziris, kamash malon, that if I make an expression and I have nazar oivel afanav, and I then couple it all by saying that that was my intention, I indeed will be a nazar.